All right, Scout Florida fans, here we are. We are back for another week. This is your Scout Florida radio show here in South Florida. You're here with your co-host, Kelsey Dudley, and also your co-host, Tony Sands. What's going on, Tony Sands?
What's happening, man? I've been out beating the streets again, as usual, enjoying what we do. We bring people the news. People give us the news. They hit us on all types of ways. They calling us. They texting us. And giving us the latest on what's going on in the sports world. So, hey, man, let's have a great show. We got some great stuff lined up. We're going to talk about the new breaking story here in Florida. We're also going to tap into the upcoming high school games and how we think they're going to fare out. We'll touch into, hey, you know, Michael Vick is the number one voter when it comes to the Pro Bowl ballot.
So he's atop the list.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's voting. Michael Vick, punch Michael Vick, punch Michael Vick, punch Michael Vick.
Well, I figured he would get it. He's so hot. It's a turnaround story. So, people want to see the turnaround story. You know, us as Americans in America, we like to see,
what a comeback kid.
Yeah, comeback kid. So, he's riding that wave there. So, yeah, that sounds about right. I would punch him first ballot.
I mean, he's having Michael Vick is having a heck of a year. And to think so many people stated he wouldn't be able to come back and play quarterback. He'd probably have to switch out to running back, probably have to switch out to wide out,
right.
Do some special teams. But now everybody's eating humble pie.
Right.
Because Michael Vick has come back and has come back a smarter player than he was when he left. I think Michael Vick was just enjoying being Michael Vick when he was here the first time. Now Michael Vick is enjoying playing quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, being a top-notch quarterback, a very good person at his craft and understanding his craft of being a quarterback and what it takes in the NFL. So he's on top of it. He's definitely on top of it. So he deserves to be there.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I think with him bringing the Philadelphia Eagles back to now, you're one of the premier teams in the NFC. That's going to make it so much exciting when this thing gets real. Now, I'm going to give everybody a big thing that they can look at. NFC Championship game in Atlanta in the Dome. Wow. That could possibly happen.
That could possibly happen. You're right.
Can you imagine the ratings? Can you imagine the excitement around Atlanta?
That would be huge.
Now, you tell me this, though. And this is what I want to answer because I've been thinking about it all day.
Uh-huh.
This game happens. Do the Atlanta fans that loved it, Michael Vick, wears number 7 Philadelphia Eagle jersey? Or do they wear the Michael Vick jersey from the Atlanta Falcons? What do you think?
Good question. I mean, they're just fans of Michael Vick, and they're not fans of the team, Atlanta, and they're living in Atlanta, or they're living in Philadelphia, and Michael Vick, and they travel to the game in Atlanta.
No, they're living in Atlanta. They're Atlanta fans that love Michael Vick, because there's a lot of them. You remember some people, when this thing jumped out with the dog thing, they was talking about they would get trading, they were giving away their season tickets. Now, Atlanta's on a roll, but do these people still love Michael Vick?
So that means they walk in the stadium with an Eagles jersey on, even though they're Atlanta fans.
Hey, man, they love Michael Vick. Or do they? I stated, though, but do they wear a Michael Vick Atlanta Falcons jersey? Showing their support to the Falcons.
Right.
But also showing a type of loyalty to Michael Vick.
Well, being that scenario may play out, and as it starts to form itself, and knowing that the city that Atlanta is, I would take you one step further. I wouldn't be surprised to see a split down the middle jersey that has been made, with half of the jersey being Philadelphia and the other half being Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite sure somebody's going to get on it. Somebody's going to get creative.
Yeah, somebody's going to get creative.
They're going to get real creative with that.
I think they would go that route. Otherwise, I don't walk in the stadium with a Vic jersey on, and I'm an Atlanta fan, and it says Eagles. How you going to get out of there?
What you mean how you going to? Did you see the hysteria that was around it when Michael Vick left? The way Michael Vick was done, the fans were more Michael Vick fans than appear to be Atlanta Falcon fans. I know they're riding the Atlanta Falcon bus because they're winning
now. Right.
Roddy White, and they're doing their thing there. But do they stay loyal to Michael Vick?
Yeah, they stay loyal. When he comes out, they cheers. And after that, then they go ahead and say, all right, it's time to play football. I mean, I like Vick, but this is my hometown team.
Right, but I understand that. But I think there's going to be some type of sense of, okay, you know what? Michael Vick, stick it to the Atlanta Falcons.
And you would still call those true Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, because I think some of the fans were kind of disappointed in the way that the Falcons organization turned their back on Michael Vick.
Okay, so then that means
Arthur Blank.
They were Eagle fans then. At some point
in the season, they may have changed over and went
to the Eagles, became Eagles fans.
Because they stay Atlanta fans. They stay Atlanta fans, but they don't like the way that Michael Vick was
treated, right,
by the owner. When the owner came out and was stating, you know, he lied to me, this, that, and the other.
Right.
And he made a big thing about it, like Michael Vick was, you know, scum of the earth.
Right.
Now, these fans are hearing this. Do they say, you know what? One side, I want my hometown to win, but I want Michael Vick to stick it to the ring. Stick it to the Falcons and stick it to the ownership. Stick it to all those Peter protesting people and let them know, hey, you know what? We don't care nothing about what you guys said. Do you think that happens? I think it happens. I'm telling you.
I don't see it. I still think it happens.
I don't see that they're not getting out of it. But also, today, breaking news about 1:30. This came through about 1:30. Gainesville, I'm in the midst of getting ready to do a story. And all of a sudden, I get a call. Guess what? Urban Meyer steps down at the University of Gainesville. Breaking news. What happens?
Urban Meyer
steps down.
Has stepped down. And you know why. Why do you think?
I'm telling you, I think Urban has seen that he has finally came to the conclusion that this Florida thing is over.
Superman bleeds, in other words.
He has no more Tim Tebow.
Yeah, Superman bleeds.
He let Cam Newton get away, head to Auburn, and come back and haunt him. Now, do you foresee down the future that I am the mighty Urban Myers that have been known to be? Or do I say, you know what? Let me get out while I'm on top. That way my reputation stays on top. Or do I watch this Florida program? Because I could slowly see it. I sensed it earlier in the year as you watch him on the sideline.
Right.
He didn't have that Urban Meyer feel that you normally see in it.
Right. It's the latter. He wants to not tarnish his reputation and where he's at atop the coaching carousel and save some of that for another school.
Yeah.
Namely, you know who it is. I mean, you know who it is. He's taking a break to rearrange and gather himself together health-wise for only one position. And one position he has left to conquer, and you know where that is. That's the Golden Domers. That's up in South Bend. He wants to go back to Notre Dame.
Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to throw this at you. Now, check
he
out
thinks
this.
That he's going to get the opportunity, too.
But check this twist.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, Josh McDaniel get fired. Urban Meyer resigns. Tim Tebow, Urban Meyer reunites in Denver.
Wow. No way.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. The Urban Meyer Tim Tebow bus rides again.
No
way. I'm just throwing it out there. Call us if you want to call in and tell us that. Hey, call in and give us your opinion on that.
No way. Call us. Please call in and tell us that. How you feel, or maybe if you feel that may be a possible happening there. I don't believe that, but you can call in 530-413-5414, or you can also call in at 415-287-0074. That's 415-287-0074. Let me tell you why I don't believe that.
Why? Go ahead.
The owner.
Owner, okay.
The owner for the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
No. For him to fire that guy.
Josh McDaniels.
Before the season has come about.
Okay.
Okay, for Pat Bowlen to fire Josh McDaniels tells you that he means business. And he understood
that he made a bad mistake. I understand that. But now, do I redeem my mistake by saying, you know what? Hey, Urban. Now, I'm going to fire Josh McDaniels on this day. You resign from University of Florida and the job is yours. You reunite with the mighty Superman, Tim Tebow. And you reunite just to get the excitement. Now, the excitement is going to be great with that. That'll sell tickets right off the bat.
Yeah, that put butts in the seat.
And this thing is about money, dollars and cents. You give me, now, instead of me making $4 million, I make $7
million.
I make $7 million a year. Because he's walking away from a $4 million deal right now. Leave $4 million on the table. And then, now I'm going to tell you where it gets tricky at. That's not even the worst scenario in this. Miami was chasing Dan Mueller, Mississippi State.
Right.
Who did he coach up under?
Under Urban.
Okay. Now, you say he coach up under Urban.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, Florida officials, hey, Urban, let us know what your plans are. Let us know what you do. Give us an opportunity to go out to Dan Mueller. Mm-hmm. We bring Dan Mueller in here. All of a sudden, Dan Mueller, hey, okay, I come in, Urban, you resign. I come in as a coach. I tell University of Miami, you know what, I'm not interested in you no more. Why? Because I know this is coming down the pike.
Right.
And I wait on Florida.
Right, which I think the latter will happen. I think that that's already in process, and that has been spoken to. But that reach on the first day.
I'm just saying it.
Not Pat Bowlen to looking at his history and what he's trying. He doesn't like to be embarrassed, and that's why he got rid of Josh McDaniels so quickly before.
But now, did he get rid of him? Now, I understand. Did he get rid of him because of the spy scandal? Or did he get rid of him because the performance?
He got rid of him because of all of it put together.
Yeah, but can I have dealt with him a little longer with just the performance?
With just the performance?
What I have got,
yeah,
would have saved.
He would have been on a hot seat, but he would have been saved.
So now with him.
That spy scandal.
But being with him out. The spy scandal sent him out. Okay, now I'm able to go and reach for a guy that I think can put people's names in the seat.
Right.
What Miami is trying, University of Miami is trying to do.
Right.
And I don't know right now with the way this coaching search has unfolded for them.
Right.
I still say I think they jumped the gun when it came to Randy. Now they're biting the bullet on it because there's no one left.
But understand.
There's no one left.
Denver doesn't have a problem with putting people in the seat. They're fine.
I understand that, but it sends the excitement throughout the league. And guess what?
He would be the laughing stock of the NFL if he pulled something like that. He would go from being...
Only thing I say would hurt him with doing that is the excuses that he's using in the media, that he's doing this because he want to get close to his family. And that's the only thing I said would be the downside, because how could you explain that to the public? That now, now you're taking a pro job. Now you're taking a pro job.
Mm-hmm.
You just told us that you're doing this because you wanted to spend time with your family, but yet still you take a pro job.
I'm not even thinking of it on Urban Meyer's part. I'm thinking of it on Pat Bowlen's part, the owner of the Denver Broncos, and saying that, well, he would be the laughing stock of the NFL. That's almost
how.
I'm going to tell
how?
You.
How do you say that?
Because precedent has been set there, and you're treading in dangerous waters. And here was where precedent was set there, in that Daniel Snyder for the Washington Redskins bringing in Steve Spurrier. It was a big splash. Yeah. Steve Spurrier, yeah. He was hot.
I can see what you're saying.
Fish grease.
But I think, I think Urban Meyer lacks a little bit more credibility when it comes to that than I think Steve Spurrier.
Look at it from this perspective. Okay, both offensive guys, right? But yeah. Looking at going into the NFL, who do you feel their system would have matched first and picked up right away? Steve Spurrier's system with the funny gun, throw it around.
Steve Spurrier.
Or you have Meyer coming with, you know, this option, whatever suits
the game.
And a lot of people, you know, say that that won't last in the pros. I think that that would cause a major, I don't know, some bad press.
I mean, it was something I threw out there to see.
Right.
It's interesting to see how this thing is going to unfold, because I still say I think there's something in the wind for Urban Meyer, for him just to walk away from this game. There's something.
All right. So that was your spin on it. My spin was Notre Dame. I think he's saying that I'm going to recharge my batteries and get ready for Notre Dame.
But has Notre Dame told him something that they don't know yet? Is Notre Dame ready to make a reach on something?
I don't think so. I won't say that Notre Dame has told him something. I think that because his connections with Notre Dame alumni has maybe made him feel okay in saying that something can possibly happen here if the current coach at Notre Dame, Kelly, if he slips up.
So you're saying if Kelly loses this bowl game, Urban Meyer can possibly be in?
I would say he wouldn't possibly be in. More people would then know about this thought process of maybe this is a possibility.
So you're saying Kelly is still there at Notre Dame for next year?
Yeah, he's still there. Win or lose. Now, win or lose in the bowl game, he's still there.
What about the Michigan job? What's your take on that? Is he in or out?
That's interesting. I think he's out.
Jim Harbaugh's in?
I think he's out and Harbaugh is in. If they have
just offered Harbaugh some good money now, Stanford.
Right. Stanford know what's coming down the pike. That's why.
Yeah.
So I say as soon as they can dump Rich Rodriguez, then before they can finish the press conference, Harbaugh will be on the phone, you know, saying that I'm coming, and I think they'll be on the phone with him saying that we want you.
But I'm trying and I understand that. I don't know why
they're holding off on that. Why we have not seen that come about yet is a surprise.
The AD has stated out and came out several times and stated he wants to wait. He believes in waiting and evaluating his coach at the end of the year. So I can, and there's nothing wrong with that. I can understand why he would want to do that.
Evaluating him at the end of the year?
At what it considered the end of their year. After the season.
After the bowl game. Are they in a bowl game?
Yeah, they're in a bowl game. Yeah.
Who are they playing in a bowl game?
I forgot who it is, but they're playing a bowl game. Shoelace to get a chance, the opportunity to just show off.
They'll win the bowl game.
After the bowl game.
They'll win the bowl
game. But what if they win it big?
They may win big. That's a very good possibility.
Save his job, though? Or do they say, regardless of what you win or lose in this game, it's time for you to go, because Michigan football. And I'm telling you, everybody is on this Miami Hurricane bandwagon. We want our glory days back. I heard Morris, he was stating in an article, hey, we want the glory days of Michigan back.
Right, right.
Desmond Howard, we want the glory days of Michigan back. Everybody's on this glory day kick, but no one will ever reach it again. Michigan won't reach it. Miami Hurricanes won't reach it.
You know,
they won't reach it.
A lot will tell, like you just said.
It's over.
ADs are waiting to evaluate after the bowl game. I think that these bowl games for some of these coaches are going to tell a lot.
Miami
Stanford wins big. Look out. Rich Rodriguez, you may be out.
Yeah.
You may definitely, that may have sealed your fate.
But now they got that.
Harbaugh wins big.
Now they're playing Virginia Tech. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, it may be tough.
That's going to be tough.
But if he wins big, Michigan does not win big.
Then what happens?
I think you got to look for something to happen in the next couple of days right after those games.
Yeah, because recruiting is valuable right now.
Recruiting is valuable.
When you look at the University of Miami,
yeah.
I think this year, and I still tell people they have taken 2 years back.
Oh, yeah. They
have degressed in their
major hit.
Process.
Yeah, major.
Because it's over. I mean, you just got Teddy Bridgewater who just decommitted.
Major hit. That was their main guy.
They only got a couple guys that's still saying they still
hanging in there.
They're trying to see what's going to happen. And I think some of those guys take a couple trips, and guess what? It's over.
I don't think that's going to work there.
Now you get some of this third-tier talent, mm-hmm. and you hurt the coach that's coming in because now this is his first recruit class. But it's a bad recruit class.
Yes, this is what you have to understand. He will be working with what is there, not the recruiting.
What's left out of the big? What the big schools
don't
take.
So you would have to understand and state that okay, this is a job that is either a restructuring job, a rebuilding job for a coach
now, but that's not what they feel. That's not what the Miami Hurricanes are yelling.
They feel that they have enough talent right now.
They don't want to rebuild.
They want to win right now,
and that's why I say they jumped the gun. And it's going to come back to him. I still say that. I continue to say.
You may definitely be right there. I mean, the coach has to agree to understand that, okay, what I see there now, I can win with. And they have to understand that. That may be a little trap.
They're not going to win.
They better understand that.
Yeah, I think they don't. How many games they won this year?
7-5.
They won't win 5 games next year.
They won't win 5?
They won't win 5 games next year.
I can't say they won't win 5 as an ACC.
I'm telling you. For the simple fact, now you got a new system, new quarterback. I mean, you have a new system coming in that kids got to learn. Hey, man, I'm telling you. And depending on how complicated the system is that come in, I'm telling you, it could be you could be starting all over again.
I'm
being honest with you. They're going to take some bumps this year.
I mean, you can still get a couple of JCs. You can have a good JC.
But you build a program on JCs.
No, you win right now on JCs, though.
Yeah, but you don't, as a guy that's first coming in.
No, but we're just talking about that first season.
I understand that. But you got to understand your first season is your first recruiting class. Now, if your first recruiting class is gone in 2 years, you're in the hole.
Yeah, you're in the hole.
You're in the hole. You're playing catch up forever now.
Wait.
And are the fans in Miami patient enough to wait on that? I don't think so.
But are they patient enough to see a winning season and then turn around and see a losing season? That's the key thing because if you go JC and you get some good JCs in, right, and you win, let's say, 1 year, 2 at the max, you keep the JCs for 2, and then you go back down in the third.
You're done.
You're done.
And they're back in the same situation.
Yeah, you're back in the same situation. I mean, will they tolerate that? That's what we got to know.
They won't tolerate it. And here we go again. Now Miami's picking another coach in 3 years. Wow, 6 years you had 2 coaches.
Yeah.
That's going to be horrible for those guys. I'm telling you.
It
would be horrible.
The name that's being mentioned for the Miami job is Mike Leach, former coach of Texas Tech. What do you think about that?
Wow, they're reaching.
They're definitely reaching.
Yeah. Mike Leach come with a bunch of offense and no defense. And the Miami Hurricane fans are used to swarming defense.
Yeah.
He comes with a bunch of offense.
Yeah, he could care less about the defensive side of it.
He don't even probably go into the
meeting. Just somebody go
but now,
that side of
you got a clean cut. Donna Shalala from Wisconsin. And she's ready to take a guy with the baggage.
With the baggage.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Either.
She doesn't that doesn't fit so our PR move. It's not only that. You're in litigation with another university. Do I take a chance and say, you know what? I'm going to bring this guy in when I know he's got a litigation case against another major university.
Right.
I think that hurts him, and I think that's what's going to continue to hurt
press.
He's saying that it's restoring his name.
He wants work.
Of course.
He's out of work.
And the way he was, I heard him on Joe Rogan's show today. It sounded like he was begging.
He is begging.
For a job.
He is
Come
begging.
On. You got to be kidding me.
Where is he? Down in Key West?
Yeah, him and his four kids. They got four bikes, and they just ride around the island with nothing to
him
do.
And Jimmy Buffett. They just, in Key West.
They just enjoy themselves, buddy. They done left the big, straight, great state of Texas, and now they're in Key West.
He gets to stay close, so of course he would want the job in Miami. It's Coral Gables, the Key West, you know, it's not that far. So, of course, it would be, it's the best of both worlds.
Throw this twist in.
What's that?
Weinstein.
You know, I thought that when it first
Weinstein.
Came down. I thought that.
Great guy.
I said, oh, here it is. Here's the setup. Here's the setup that's playing itself out. But after listening to Dave Weinstein and what he said about the resign and what he plans to do.
What did he say?
He wants to move into the front office and assist the AD for the program and just stay around the Pitt program, but from the AD's perspective. So he doesn't want to coach.
So you think the coaching and Dave Weinstein, a Super Bowl winning coach, is over?
Yeah, I think that it was pressure to resign, and over the pressure. You know, he's had pressure following the last couple places he's been. I think he's over the pressure. He just wants to oversee things.
Oh, that's tough.
You coming into another pressure cooker now.
That's tough, though. I still say.
If Weinstein would be coming into a major pressure cooker and coming back to UM.
How's that?
Do you want to? How's that? We just said it.
How's that?
Miami wants to win now. Those fans want Weinstein, to win now.
Now, Weinstein,
about recruit. They want
to Weinstein, I think Weinstein can bring some people to see. Weinstein is a UM guy. He's
right
at UM. He has a lot of UM ties. And I think that can help him in the recruiting process.
He also has a lot of bad ties in leaving here with the Dolphins. That's, you're not.
But that's the pro level. You can't hold him for that.
So is that the
splash? I would have wanted to get out of the Miami Dolphins organization. It was a horrible organization. I see why Jimmy left it.
No, at that time they were winning. They put a lot of emphasis on one.
But they were horrible. They still could do. They can't. You won't win the big one. And the Dolphins won't win the big one.
Well, that's not what the fans see it as.
They
had one of their best teams during his regime.
I understand that.
And they went into the playoffs multiple times with him.
I understand all that.
They invested a lot of that on
But
his
I don't
shoulders.
See
so,
the pro
know.
Level hurting him at the college level. I see the college guys say, hey, we like a guy like him. Great, great. I always looked at him. Sometimes I looked at him and Norv Turner as great coordinators. Never believe
it. I think he's a good defensive guy. I think he's a good defensive
and
guy.
That's
but
what
look at this. The Miami fans right now.
They're brutal. They're here.
Right now, it's.
Sid's leading the charge.
They want a lot. They
fire
want
Randy Shannon is what Sid messes with.
Right now, they want a lot. If Weinstein came in, let's
Randy,
say a season where they wanted to win. Miami fans want a coach that's going to win the ACC
right
next season, correct?
Right, correct.
Okay. If Weinstein comes in, they would say not only win ACC, but BCS Bowl because they know him.
The expectations is going to be high.
Would move up a little bit more just
and
because
think,
he's a hometown boy.
But that also serves as a good mentoring tool for those young men that at the University of Miami to understand, I am a proven winner.
Right.
I have won Super Bowls.
Right.
I have won taking Pitt to a Big East championship.
Right.
I can win. You jump on my back, you follow, I will lead you to where you're trying to get back to. I was here in those glory days. So who would know better what helped build the glory days than a Dave Weinstein?
Well, you thought that would have been the case with Randy Shannon, though, right?
No, Randy
was. He was there during the glory days.
But he was a player during that time. I understand it from a player perspective, but you must also understand it from a coach's perspective. And I think Randy coming only in as a player perspective, and they don't have the players that have that swag to them. They just got some good athletes, but no swag. Give me the swag over all the greatest athletic ability, and I can win with it over a longer period of time than a kid with good athletes.
I don't
know. I say that.
I don't know. Why would you take a coach from a lesser program?
So you're saying Pitt is a lesser program?
I mean, he couldn't get Pitt going.
Yeah, he had some. He had a great year last year with
Pitt. He still had a lot of the players.
I understand that. Uh-huh. But now, outside, who else is left from Miami? Miami's in a snoop.
Right.
Who else is left?
That's why
you're hearing Mike Leach's name, because no one else is left. You're out of here, Mark Mangino, Jim Leavitt. These are the names that'll start popping up.
Maybe.
Because they have nothing left.
They need more talent there for Wanstead to take that job. More talent needs to be there. Wanstead cannot come in and uplift less talent.
I give you that.
That would be tough, and the fans just would not get off his back. They won't get off his back. The
expectations would be high for him.
Yeah, no, that'd be too difficult for him.
All right, we'll get back to that. Let's go to a commercial break, and we'll come back at the top of the hour, at the bottom of the hour, with some of our high school games. Man, it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, we got a lot of matchups coming up.
And you know what? Broward County is where all the big matchups are coming
at. Will take place. They will take place in Broward, not Dade.
Three exits away from each other. You go Oakland Park, Sunrise, Broward Boulevard, and you're sitting at a game. I can be out of one game 15 minutes at another game without missing a beat.
Now, parking may be a problem, but, you know.
Probably is only going to be a serious problem at St. Thomas due to the lack of parking. And that's why when we do that game this week, we'll make sure that we're early to get into there.
Got to get in there on them little roads. All right, fans, we're going to go to commercial break. We'll be back with you in 2 and 2. Stay with us.
Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, because sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins, and wraps, and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking. For an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B. If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Man, I love that song, man.
Hey, you like that song?
Man, I love it. That man is talking some real stuff. You paid your dues. You put in your time. You don't wait it in line. And they don't wait it in line for us to give them this high school segment. Let's get it on.
High school segment and report here. The schools are close, fans. They're close. They're 1 week away. Some schools, as we're going to allude to now, are entering into their state final game where it's all for the marbles, and they'll be playing their state championship game this week. All right, at the end of the week, in our 2A matchup, our class 2A state Florida finals, Fitz Cocoa Beach High School against Glades Central.
Wow.
Glades Central, what now, do you think?
I'm gonna tell you something. I love Glades Central. I understand that all this hysteria with this team But I still say, and as I told you earlier, Glade Central will bring the state championship back home to Palm Beach County, to the South Florida area. And when we look at it, man, South Florida's been well represented. We could possibly be well represented here in this state playoffs.
I know we can. Going straight across the board. I mean, Tri-County area having pretty much what? Going through all the classes, huh?
Basically.
Going through almost all the classes. So, I don't know. This competitor that Glade Central will go up against, Cocoa Beach, is 13-0. They have beaten teams in Texas. They beat two Texas teams.
Yeah, actually, but what was
and went out to Texas and beat them.
But when we say Texas,
uh-huh,
what schools in Texas? I mean, you got to give me some schools that got some that got some oomph to them to say, okay, all right, they're good. Just because they beat a team in Texas, that could be anybody.
I mean, they beat some top programs out of Texas. They in the what was it, the Daytona Classic, where they played
Texas,
some
teams
came in and they played, they did pretty well. They also played a school from Alabama
right,
that they did well against.
So, right, that's true. I mean, I don't, but I still say
I think it'll be close.
It'll be close, but I'm gonna go with Glade Central.
You gonna go with Glade Central?
Yeah, I say Glade Central win the state championship.
Okay, they made it this far. So you're saying it's their destiny.
Yeah, I don't see them having a problem with that at all.
You don't see, at all?
At all. I don't see them having a
problem. So easy victory for Glade
Central. Yeah, I think the speed is going to overwhelm Coco. And that's why I say Glade Central will take this with no problem.
Wow. I got to go with Coco on this one. You know,
okay,
the reason
folks,
why I got to go with Coco.
He said Coco.
I'm
I said
saying
Glades.
That for Coco, they're coming off a state title, and they're going back again. And I just think right now they're loaded with talent, and they have a confidence
They got a confidence, but I still say
I just don't think Glade Central.
That confidence coming off that muck is like no other, and that's why Florida has been able to be so successful. Because that's where they got a lot of their talent. A lot of that speed came from out that Florida area, off that swamp over there. So I'm telling you, I don't see them being a problem. I think they go ahead and handle their business.
It's going to be a good game. I know one thing. I will definitely be watching that game and see how it turns out. Both teams have speed on both sides.
Right, that's true.
Quick defenses.
Yeah.
So they play with speed. Both teams play with speed. I was amazed at the rush yardage that the two running backs are able to put together for Cocoa Beach, and they have 2,000-yard rushers.
But are you going to be – if you see 2,000-yard rushers, uh-huh, guess what? That means ain't too much passing going on.
Not too much, or it's coming very easy. We can say that.
They will shut that run attack down that Cocoa is coming in there with, and if they don't have a passing attack, that speed is going to demolish them. Because they're going to get pressure coming from every which way but loose. I don't see these guys together getting over 175 yards total in the game. And that's both of them.
Now, one key thing. Going to key facts here.
Go ahead.
Okay. In going to key facts, I see that for Glades Central and Coco, these two faced off last year in the state finals.
Right, correct.
And Coco was able to prevail.
That was then.
Do you say that now they have their number?
No, they don't have
a
number.
Or a good feel for them, at least.
They don't have the number, I'm telling you. This
nope
is going to be a team that's going to say, well, you know, you guys punched us and embarrassed us last year. It won't happen again. I think they stirred up that motivation, and they beat Coco. No problem. No problem whatsoever, man.
Wow, you're saying no problem.
Come on, you got to be kidding me.
You're saying no problem. Wow.
No problem.
Oh, okay, we got to keep our eye on this one. So, okay, you got Glade Central, I got Coco Beach.
And you know it.
Okay, so as I said, fans, that game will be going down that will be going down this week up in Orlando at the Magic City at the Orlando
I'm going
Citrus
to Disney
Bowl.
World.
Keep your eyes on that one. It's a rematch for the state
going to
finals.
Disney World, baby.
So those two teams will be going at it. Now,
Glade Central will be going to Disney World.
Glade Central will be going to Disney World?
Yeah.
You already punching the ticket.
Already.
Okay. You said it. We have to watch it. All right. In our Class 2B, state finals, we have University High School led by all-time coach Roger Harriet coming up the ranks. All right. New to the state final level. And right. we have Trinity Catholic, who has made in the last, we can say about 5 years, have made three appearances in the state finals. So we have an experienced team going up against a newcomer, but a strong newcomer.
I think this newcomer has surrounded himself with some good talent, big boy talent, as I call it, and they prevail in that also. I'm leaning to a Roger Harriet and University that they will win this game. It'll be close, but I think they win this game out. Roger get his first state championship.
Okay. On this one, University School 13-0. Trinity Catholic also 13-0. How do I see this one? Gosh, I see it close. I see this one close.
I don't see it being that. I see it being close. I mean, I see it being probably a touchdown away game. No, I say 3 points.
Yeah, turnovers. I say turnovers decide this one. Gosh, I'm going with University School. This is what I'm gonna do, and I love Roger. That's my boy.
Just say you're going against him, and you're gonna wind up
on this one. I'm following the pattern of how things go in these situations.
So you're going with football. You're going to Trinity Catholic. Just say it.
Yeah, newcomers to the Super Bowl, you know, and they say the new very rarely win. When you talk about this championship level and getting there,
the expectations are enormous.
I think Trinity Catholic will be the more experienced team.
I'm not going to go against my guy. I've been riding with him this far, and I think
you can't jump off now. You've been riding with him, so you can't jump off now. But I'm going to go with Trinity Catholic.
Okay, you got
Trinity. The experience will prevail here.
I can understand that. Okay. So, I mean, I'm going University. You go with Trinity. What's our next matchup?
Next matchup we have in the class 4A. 4A matchup, Sefner Armwood against Dwyer High School.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I told you this earlier because I looked at it earlier in the week.
Uh-huh.
It was a misprint in the paper that Dwyer had lost this game. Lost the game that they played against Palm Bay. Right. And I'm thinking Dwyer was out of it. And lo and behold, I look at it, and I'm seeing their name. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I looked at a misprint. They sold a lot of people on that misprint. I'm quite sure that saw the stats on that game.
Of course.
And I'm still baffled by it. That could have been a better turn of events if the newspaper would have got it right. That's why people should listen to Scout Florida, and that way you get the news as it comes off the machine, baby. We give it to you.
Who you got? Who you got? Who you got? Uh-huh. We got one here where he's a little stuck. We stabbed him a little bit. I'm going with my big dog.
I love me some O'Leary.
Okay.
I'm going with Dwyer. I've been riding him also. That's who I roll with this time.
Okay, so you're riding the all-star player Nick O'Leary for Dwyer.
You know it.
Okay, so Dwyer at 12-1 facing off against Sefner Armwood 13-0. Gosh, man,
that's a different. I'm hearing a lot of these teams up this way saying undefeated. They're not playing.
Listen, I'm gonna go with, even though I'm looking at some of Sefner Armwood's their stats here. They're 500 plus points above their opponents. Their opponent scoring around 75 points on the season. Sefner Armwood's up around 530, 540.
Pick your team.
Points.
I'm going Dwyer.
Big differential there. I think that Dwyer is on a mission, and they've been locked in since the beginning of the season. If Palm Bay didn't beat them, I don't think they're going to lose, so I got Dwyer.
I'm going with Dwyer. We're even up on that one.
Yeah, we're even up on that one. Class 4A, we have Dwyer over Sefner Armwood. Now, that's not for the state final, but that is for the semifinal to see who goes to states. I think the two, whoever wins that game will win states for that class 4A.
I see that. I see that easy.
All right. In our next one, we have class 5A.
The big boys.
The big boys here. We have St. Thomas Aquinas at 13-0 facing off against Bradenton Manatee at also 13-0.
this is going to be a clash of the titans. This is revenge on revenge. This is rematch, baby. You beat us. We couldn't get to the state. We felt we had our best team ever because we had the most talent. And guess what? We don't make it. You knock us off. Now you're coming to my place.
Right.
Looking to knock me off? You got to be kidding. I don't see it. I'm riding with the alma mater, George Smith, and the St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders as taking this game, being it's in their backyard, and winning it by 2 touchdowns, baby.
Both these teams have unfinished business. Because after Bradenton beat St. Thomas last year in the semifinals, they went on the states and then lost to Plant City.
Yeah.
So, to Plant High School, I'm sorry. And both teams have unfinished business. So, we're talking about two teams that have something to prove. Who's gonna impose their will in this game? I think I'm rolling with the alma mater also. I'm going with the Miami Raiders. St. Thomas Aquinas Raiders to prevail in this one. Close.
10 points?
No.
What you got?
I'm going to give you an odd score. I'm going to give you 4 points. 4 points.
Four points, but it is.
Last team to score needs a touchdown. They come up short. I say a 4-point game.
All right. You heard it. You heard it, folks. He said a 4-point game. So I'm quite sure. Hey, I'm sticking with the Raiders. He's sticking with the Raiders. 4-point lead. I say 10. I think St. Thomas go ahead and manhandle them as they come down to South Florida. They got to take that long bus ride. Now, they're supposed to be bringing a lot of fans with this game. So it's going to be exciting. You got too much football going on here in Broward. You don't know where you want to go.
Yeah.
One of these games should have been on a Saturday.
Yeah, they should have moved one.
That way everybody gets a nice piece of pie. This money thing is big.
Everyone can make it. You're right. That would have been better for us, huh?
You got to figure, I was looking at some of the calculations. You got to figure the Cypress Bay Central game. They bring 10,000 fans. That's $80,000.
Wow. $80,000. And then you know that St. Thomas will have the same amount at their game.
That's what I'm saying.
So
it's going to be exciting.
Money being made.
It's going to be some money this weekend.
Friday night lights, baby.
This will be a money making weekend for those guys. And everybody must be on the lookout that this may happen. St. Thomas will manhandle that team because they're coming here. And we'll get a chance to see the real Brady to Manatee.
Yeah. I don't say manhandle, but I think they'll beat this.
I think
they'll win late.
Once the dust settles and all the adrenaline, go down, uh-huh. St. Thomas handle this thing like no problem.
That'll be interesting to see. All right, folks, be there or be square. That's the Class 4A. I mean 5A, I'm sorry. 5A semifinals. It will be held at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. 7:30 kickoff on Friday. Let's move on down to I-95. The next show will be also held in Broward.
Uh-oh.
The main machine.
Teller, Lockett, and the Rockets.
And the Rockets, they bring their show to Broward County because they want everybody to see it.
It's on display. They came to Broward once before.
That Broward team didn't fare out that well. Did they?
No, man. That's when I jumped on that central wagon and said, you know what? This is the best team in the state of Florida right now.
Definitely.
Bar none.
So Miami Central will be facing off against Cypress Bay High School, where Cypress Bay is just coming off a last-minute victory over Northeast High School. So Cypress Bay goes into this game at 11-2. And you have a 12-1 Miami Central team coming in here, highly explosive. This is like, what would we call it? We can't call this a David and Goliath, can we?
No, you can't call it David and Goliath. And I told you earlier, one thing about Coach Guandola, he's a great coach.
Right.
When I told you this earlier,
uh-huh.
I said that would be the difference in him beating some of these teams because of his coaching ability will supersede a lot of some of this athletic ability, and he takes those young guys and got to believe it in his program.
Right.
I had an opportunity to go over today and spend some time watching them practice. They looked focused, wasn't on playing around. I mean, the offensive line coach is working with them where they drive base pocket off. Man, it's going to be exciting.
And I say there in that I think it's going to be – well, let me just go ahead and put it out there. I got this one. Here's my blowout right here. Miami Central by at least 21.
I can go with that. I think Cypress Bay is about 2 years away from this thing, so I see why you say that. Going to be great. Going to be nice to see everybody come out. Check it out. I mean, we're going to love to see your face. Hey, let us know. Hey, we heard you on Scout Florida Radio, and guess what? We'll acknowledge you, baby, because we are the sports internet radio show that rules the world, Scout Florida. And that's what you're listening to.
And you'll see us out and about at the games. That game will be a tune-up for Central, I believe, in that 6-8. And as they move out of that semifinals and go to the States, as we both feel, they'll face off against a team up north called Dr. Phillips.
But I told you, the team that got by 2 weeks ago will be the team that won the state championship. I still stand behind that.
And you think they'll ride it all the way out?
Yeah, they'll ride this wave.
And take it all the way to a state ring. And what a wonderful program it would be deserving to win a state championship would be that program.
But you got to understand, Central's been here before. And that's why I say they're going to come in with such passion. And we've been here before, guys, against Miramar.
Right.
And we lost it.
Right. So
we
got turned away.
I don't see them getting – I see them manhandling this game and winning it by at least, like I said, 21 points.
21 points it is. So we both have Miami Central in that matchup, folks, that semifinal matchup, Miami Central against Cypress Bay. That game will be at 7:30. Also on Friday night, it will be held at your own Lockhart Stadium in Fort Lauderdale. So we have two big matchups to send two teams from South Florida up the road to Orlando.
It's going
to
be a great time.
There or be square. You have the matchups there. All right. So those are our high school matchups and where those teams sit right now with those high school matchups there. Moving into some more top news, Tony Sands, how about those Heat, baby?
Oh, here he go with the Heat. It's probably going to be one time he could leave he could leave my house in the studio getting down when the Heat wins. Oh, and now he's riding his Heat wave. You ride. How many of them won? What, five now? Three?
How about the Heat, baby? We won five. Count them. Five. And we're exercising the demons tonight for that team that kind of snuck us a couple weeks ago. That's right. Utah Jazz. That's right. We coming out there and bringing the show to Salt Boring City. And we're going to do something to them. Something kind of.
Okay, he's rambling on, just like I told
you. That's right, that's
right. Typical South Florida fan, they don't say much when they're losing. They keep their tails tucked when they're winning, and all of a sudden, you want to say the Heat is on. You're right, the Heat is on. Come on, you got to be kidding me, man. Hey, as we leave you tonight, you go to bed and you think, the station that gives you everything, South Florida. The team that gives you nothing, the Miami Heat, the Miami Dolphins. Well, folks, understand. You go to bed, you think about us, you hear our with. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Yeah.